Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Today we have a very special guest for you. And, you know, it's all about communications. And isn't that what we all talk about is communication? And today we have a wonderful dynamic guest. Her name is Barbara Gaughan Mueller. And she is to be congratulated because she has earned the 2020 Awakening Peace Award. And she is a lifelong Rotarian, the president of the Rotary E-Club of World Peace, and an honored board member of the Rotary Action Group for Peace. Barbara was destined to be a peace builder since she was 3 years old. Since then, peace became her passion and mission and her lifestyle. From the relationships she builds, her professional career, her personal projects, and even her love life, Barbara is intentional about peace being at the center, and this is obvious as she projects her contagious positive energy and wholehearted everyone around her. Barbara tirelessly strives to awaken peace in her leadership roles, community projects, and international engagements. And I'll tell you a little bit about Barbara in just a moment. Let's take a break, and I'll be right back with you on Colombo Chronicles, and we will enter into the world of authors and experts.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite. Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure
Hi,
to
Barbara.
Save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. And by the way, we are about to enter into the world of authors and experts. I've told the audience a little bit about Barbara, but let me also say, when it comes to peace, Barbara Gahn Muller is never short of ideas and actions. She co-authored Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for the Success You Want, as well as 7,500 Ideas for a Better World. And boy, do we need that. Every week, Barbara hosts an inspiring peace podcast you can find on peacepodcast.org, where she speaks with global peacemakers on ideas, insights, and paths for world peace. She is an international speaker on a wide variety of topics and has spoken at the United Nations, where she received the Spirit of the United Nations Award. That is quite an accomplishment. So why don't we just get started and welcome our very special guest, Barbara Gahn Muller. Hi, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm really fine. Thank you, Rose. I'm amazed that I'm fine with the world and the situation it's in.
Yes, it is definitely in a situation, and none of us are certain what that situation is from day to day, right?
Right. It is a daily thing, isn't it? And I have on my desk this little note, I'm in charge, and that's the way I want it to be, Rose.
Absolutely. I think that's very important, and I think it's very important for, for people such as yourself who are trying to communicate how to bring about more world peace. And Barbara, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us a little bit about why at the age of 3 you felt at that moment that you were destined to help bring about communication
Thank you
and
for
world
that
peace.
Great question. Because my grandfather immigrated from Hungary in the early 1900s to avoid World War I. When the coffin maker was piling up the coffins, he asked the coffin maker, he was a teenager, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're going to need it. The war is coming." And my grandfather, who owned a butcher shop, a hairdresser shop with his parents, he left with $5 in his pocket, got on a boat, and came to California, where I went. I was born in 41, so I got there when he was about, well, at that point, he probably was in his 70s almost. And then I got there, actually, no, he was in his 50s. And when I got there, he said to me when I lived with him, because there was no place else to live when we were at that age. We moved from Colorado to California. And he said to me when I was 3, after raising me up to 3, "You're going to be a peacemaker someday." I said, "Grandpa, I'm only 3. And he said, "Yes, think of all the years you have to be a peacemaker." And he said, "You know, I emigrated from Hungary to avoid World War I, and I never want war to come again."
That's a beautiful story, and I'm so glad you shared it with our audience, because that's, you know, the grandparents and grandparents who actually were involved in those wars, and they really understand why they came to America and how important it was to assimilate as an American and to wave the flag and to pledge their allegiance to the United States flag and to sing the national anthem and to pledge their loyalty to the United States Constitution and to America when they left their homelands to develop a new world, a new life for themselves and their families, and a better life with opportunity. And
you are so
and
right,
Rose. And right.
And
right. I say that, Barbara, because you are involved in the United Nations and the Rotarians and in awakening the world to peace. And I say that because I'm finding today it's very disturbing to me to see,
our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents who fought for this country and our relatives, fellow Americans and their families, and many heroes died on the battlefields. Many heroes are in veterans' homes or hospitals and were wounded and some for life. And I see the value of those sacrifices being diminished in, I'd say, slowly over the past 30, 40 years, slowly, very slowly, until we've gotten to this point where I don't see the great appreciation that and all those sacrifices and the bloodshed by our own government, everyone, but a lot of our own people in our government who we taxpayer fund and depend upon to recognize the significance of how freedom was actually won by bloodshed, lives, injuries, and the hard sacrifice of Americans who go through the depressions, through the inflations, through reckless spending by our own government. And yet, we are such a forgiving country that people have big hearts and they do forgive. But I think it's getting to the point now where people are actually getting angry, Barbara.
I do too. And you know, I just this morning I was talking to one of my blog friends and I said to her, she said to me, do you know we're lucky we live long enough to dwell in the wisdom we have accumulated by a lifetime. And when my grandfather said to me at three, I was going to be a peacemaker, that dream came true when I met Dr. Robert Mueller, a UN secretary, assistant secretary general, who also said he would spend his life working for peace. And I ended up marrying him. And we spent our life traveling the world explaining that the situation in the world doesn't mean you still can't work for peace, that peace is an internal combustion that you bring wherever you are, and it helps you think of the world that would, what the world would look like if we were at peace. And so peace is in my DNA.
Yes, and I think it's actually in a lot of our DNA of the baby boomers and the and even the younger people who aren't baby boomers yet, just mature adults, and whose parents taught them the value of freedom and America, mm-hmm. and who were still standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance in public schools and Christian schools and parochial schools. I think that they are awakened to this. But we have this generation that were taught by these anti-American liberals on the extreme left. And we've got this division now. And there's a lot of division based on politics and race, right in our own, and even gender now. They're throwing everything in the kitchen sink. Into the
it's
kitchen
hard,
sink.
Isn't it? You have described the situation to a T. And that's why I wrote the book, Revolutionary Conversations. You're going to, in your lifetime, and in the next few days, probably run into somebody who totally disagrees with you. And you may say, wait a minute, I disagree with you. But wait a minute, I was watching my husband at the United Nations, and he was having some problems with communication. Not him, but the other people, because they always thought their side was right and our side wasn't right. And then they never got to the point where they had a revolutionary conversation, the tools you need to get them success and the peace you want. So with two co-authors, an HR person and a business executive, we wrote the book Revolutionary Conversations to help people through those moments with a simple toolkit.
Yes, I noticed that, but there was one other thing about your husband, Dr. Robert Mueller, who played a key role in China's admission to the United Nations, and yet we are here having a serious situation between the United States and America, and so I was wondering if you had any comments about the situation and your husband's role in China's admission to the United Nations and how we can use your book and your tools to help neutralize the situation, because our automobile dealers don't even have enough new cars on the lots any longer because China makes the chips.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that the progression of where we are today? You have summed it up. And Robert, when Robert was the Secretary Entente, or was it, I think it was Secretary General Entente, who said, we really need to have a United Nations. That means we cannot leave big countries out. That means we have to bring China into the United Nations so at least we can have a conversation with them. Because if we don't know what they're doing and they don't get into the global conversation, they can do what they want. So this allowed the global conversation to take place. So Robert Mueller always believed that conversations were the key to creating peace. And I'll never forget him telling me the story of two ambassadors at the UN coming to Entente and saying, Secretary General Entente, we want you to settle this. And Secretary General Entente said, there's a difference of opinion here, I know, and I want you two to go in the hall and have a conversation. 2 hours later, they came in, and would you believe they had settled it by themselves? He said, see, that's the power of conversation.
Well, this brings me to another point with your book, Revolutionary Conversations, because we're not having a conversation anymore because we are, if you are on the right or you oppose anything on the left, on the worldwide social media two giant sites, you will get banned or suspended, and your conversation has ended. What do you think about that?
Exactly. Exactly. I had my dearest, sweetest, most wonderful Cheryl Melody Baskin. Her YouTube channel was taken off for a prayer she did, a prayer that had a word in it that somehow some algorithm picked up, a prayer. And she was banned from YouTube for 2 weeks. So you're absolutely right. We have to really and truly pray that we can get back to the point where our prayers are not diminished or taken off of YouTube, that what we're doing can be communicated around the world. We're in a new period now, aren't we?
We are in a new period where the AI is controlling our thoughts and our words and our conversations and our freedom of speech. And I'm very concerned, and that's why I'm so happy you were on this, on the show today, because this is a really key issue with me, that when two giant corporations who have no authority over Americans or the Constitution have now taken control of freedom of speech that guarantees and establishes freedom of speech so that we can have a conversation and a debate and different opinions as we have always had before they were allowed to become the controllers of freedom of speech, even over a president of the United States who may have an extremely important message for us, or even over the international doctors who have probably could have saved lives through their information because they're hands-on treating people with viruses and so forth, and they've used treatments that were successful that have all been suppressed. I find
it
to be extremely dangerous, not only to freedom of speech, but to their health, to our government influence, to our elections, to our prayers in church, our religion. I find it extremely dangerous in all aspects of the American way of life and the suppression of the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights. So what do you think about that and your book, Revolutionary Conversations, and the tools you need for success on how to help the politicians come together, have a conversation, and start regulating this monopoly over freedom of speech.
Interesting. You have really described a situation that is one that everybody needs to be aware of. And again, I'm on several boards of directors, and we always start with something called palabras, and that allows us to each go around the board table and to say where we are right now, and it kind of brings us into an opening. Now, I will tell you something that I had a really close friend who worked in diplomatic corps, and she would always go to these diplomatic meetings, and she would start with her, you know, bless the food we're eating and all that. And then she would ask a question. Well, you know something? I have a feeling that we have more things alike than that are. And all of a sudden, these people would just stop in their shoes and their tracks and say, wait, you know, you're right. And she said, well, let's just talk about how are we alike. And they would start to talk about how what they have in life. They love their grandchildren. They all had breakfast. And so they began to go to the real human component, not the political component, the human component. And then they went to the political communication after they understood who was at the table by the palabras. And so my board meetings at the United Nations Association, at the Rotary Action Group for World Peace, my peace podcast, I have 75 podcasts with peacemakers and authors and people who are telling it like it is, who are working for human rights. Everybody has a human right to peace and freedom of speech. Thank you for bringing that up, Rose.
Well, without freedom of speech, we have nothing. We are a communist nation. If we don't have freedom of speech, we are silenced. And only those who are allowed to speak can speak. That is not the American way of life. That's not how we've lived our lives. That is for 245 years we have expressed freedom of speech, which is freedom of press, freedom to assemble, freedom to protest peacefully. We have these rights, and we taxpayer fund our politicians, whether they're on the right or the left. That shouldn't even be the issue anymore. It should be, how are we going to preserve our freedom of speech so that if we have different opinions, no one has all the answers. We absolutely need different opinions.
Yes, correct? And different points of view. That's what makes our country strong. And if you watch some of the programs today, they're trying that out to see how they can have both sides represented. And I don't even know if I like the word sides as much as I like the word that, you know, we are one world. We're just a tiny little planet out there running around in outer space. And we have to take care of each other. I'll never forget Mother Teresa saying, I think we forgot that we're supposed to take care of each other. And when you come with those simple little concepts like let's take care of each other, why did she pick up those children in the street in India? Because she was taking care of what needed to be done right then and there. My late husband, Dr. Robert Mueller, was called the Prophet of Hope at the United Nations. In fact, that's the name of his book, Prophet, the Hatmaker's Son. And I'll never forget going to Sardinia. We were going to do a big conversation with Sardinians, and about 500 people showed up. And they were there to hear about Robert Mueller and why he was so powerfully afraid of the peace that we all had worked so hard for was going to disappear if we don't all work on peace. So that morning we got up and we were all dolled up and he had his new suit on. And it was about 5:30 in the morning and he went out and started cleaning the beach. And I said, Robert, you've got your best suit on. What are you doing? This needs to be done. I said, okay. So we cleaned the beach. Do you know we had a pile of toilet seats? We had a pile of stuff that was thrown overboard on the boats. We had a pile that was 6 feet high cleaning the beach in 2 hours, two people. We get to the lecture, and he's sitting on stage smiling, and he always did, and he plays his harmonica, the Ode to Joy. And they look at him like, oh, here's this prophet, but they don't say anything. And then he does his speech, and then this man stands up and says, Dr. Mueller, You think I'm going to be a peacemaker? Don't you know how bad the situation is? And so what does Robert say? What were you doing at 5 o'clock this morning? And the man said, I was sleeping, and Robert kept cleaning your beach. And the man just got quiet. The audience clapped, and he said, that needed to be done, and that's the way I live my life. If it needs to be done and I can do it, I do it. That's how you bring world peace. Do what you can do. You're in charge, and it's up to me to fix it.
That is a beautiful story. And, you know, it's important that we start to bring back, like you said, the human part, that we are all humans. And if we don't work together and take care of each other, this is our homeland, homeland. This is where we all live. We're all responsible for this homeland that we live on, that God blessed us with, or if you want to say higher power, blessed us with, and gave us the land of plenty to share with each other and to then share with the world. And I'm seeing so much politics and fighting going on in the government. I listen to a lot of the hearings. I watch them. I want to hear their words. I want to hear their communication. They are not communicating. They are, well, I don't really know. I don't remember. I will get back to you on that. I mean, it's all the old political stuff. And they're like, yeah, get back to me on that. And there's no answers. There's no communication going on. I mean, instead of saying, this is the Constitution of the United States. You are a corporation, and you are to uphold the Constitution and work in accordance with the Constitution, which provides, this is what I would say, provides freedom of speech to every American and you are not the law enforcer of freedom of speech. If you think someone is saying something that could be a hate speech or a crime or whatever, report it to law enforcement. They will handle it. That's how I see corporations should be operating, not as the law enforcement of freedom of speech.
That's a very good point. You know, it's so interesting because I spent so many years at the United Nations with Robert, and I watched in the halls when people had disagreements. It was as if they understood that we're not all going to be on the same page, because we are not all going to walk in the same shoes, and we're not all going to be raised by the same people. And so there's a lot of differences of opinion. And I go right back to the rules, but the toolkit in Revolutionary Conversations. And you know something? There's something that unites us in this world right now. And I'm the president of the Rotary, I'm the past president, last year I was president, of the Rotary E-Club of World Peace. And Rose, I'd love to invite you one of these days to come to one of our meetings. We meet on Tuesday evenings. And then, you know, it's amazing what you can do through Rotary. There are 35,000 Rotary clubs, over 1.5 million members. And each Rotary club, even in the smallest little villages in Africa, they have a Rotary club. Why? Because the motto is service above self. And so even though the news may not give you all of the good news, there are wonderful people out there who are working together. We have something in Santa Barbara called the Shelter Box. The Shelter Box is a completely encapsulated, everything you're going to need if you're in an earthquake or a disaster. And this Shelter Box goes marching up those mountains that are no longer passable, and they erect this Shelter Box with phones, water, everything you need in there. And all of a sudden, these people have the freedom to go to bed at night and the food they need for a couple of weeks until they turn around this disaster. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are working for the betterment of our planet. Right, Rose?
Absolutely. There's wonderful people, and that's why we're still here. Because
right.
I think the majority of people are good people. I believe there's a minority who are very they speak louder than the people who are more silent about what they
right.
are doing, because they do serve the humanity, and so
uh-huh.
they don't get involved as much in speaking out in a loud voice, in a microphone, and so forth. So we don't really see all these heroes, and we don't really hear about all the heroes, and they're everywhere. They're in our churches.
Well, you have a wonderful voice. I told you that right away, that I love your voice. How do you get your voice out there? What made you to have this radio show? People need to be encouraged by your example.
Well, I actually became a consumer advocate for justice in 1989. I began a grassroots movement helping women and children going through divorce who were ending up homeless and ending up without their children, having their children taken away from the judges or the child support, even though they were non-offending parents. We exposed NAMBLA. We brought the information to the right authorities. I proposed laws that were actually implemented in California. Two legislators who went forward with them. So we don't, you know, we can be doing something every single day that will help our country so that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, future generations, will be able to be free. That's why I fight for freedom, liberty, and rights. And I'm very in tune with the laws that they're passing that may suppress things such as freedom of speech or due process of law. Because without those two things, that's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. We can speak out, and we need to fight for that right and for our constitutional right to have thoughts. In China, you can't even have a thought. They can accuse you of having thoughts against the government and take you away. We have to prevent this for our children, grandchildren, and future generations, because as you said, Barbara, we experienced the real America. We were blessed to have all this wisdom and knowledge and know what it's all about to make a lemonade stand, to learn how to be, to utilize and learn, teach children how to build and create and sell and know the value of money and to earn it and to appreciate what they buy with that money. Mm-hmm. We weren't handed, as they are today, a Porsche when we graduate from high school. That didn't happen. We weren't handed a $1,500 phone and so forth. And so this mindset of the government will take care of you, will give you a free phone, will give you health care for free, will let everybody into our country without vetting them who may be anti-American and appreciate and don't want to assimilate as Americans. This is wrong. We're the only country in the world that's doing that. You walk into another country illegally, and you're either going to get shot or you're going to get thrown into a terrible place where you're going to be starved and beaten and interrogated and raped.
You know, this
possibly.
Morning I was listening to Eckhart Tolle, and you are right on again about what's going on in the world. And Eckhart Tolle was asked that question, and this man had asked the question, how can I be peaceful when I know all of these things are going on in the world? And you just now brought up what is going on in the world. And Eckhart Tolle said, and I'm going to paraphrase, he said something along the lines that you can also think those thoughts that you have, or you can go and put that on a sidebar so that you can live your life and be the peace that maybe somebody that you might run into may need. And Eckhart Tolle said, yes, these are the things that go on, but they're not the driving force for your life. Your life is really important, and you're talking about that. I love your book title, Fight Back Legal Abuse, and I think you should have a series, Fight Back, Keep Your Rights. I mean, you have so many things to say, but it's hard to write a book, isn't it?
Well, actually, I'm writing another book.
That a girl.
I wrote a second book, and it was it's still on Amazon. It's called Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, and it's about depopulation and about the redistribution of wealth. And we should not redistribute our wealth to the wealthy. we should be able to share our wealth and continue on to have the middle class with the opportunity to pick yourself up and be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to be, because this is a wonderful gift that God gave us in America. And legal immigrants can come here, and we welcome them. We welcome legal immigrants who want to assimilate and be proud to be Americans. We want them to do well, but we should never allow people to violate our laws while other people have stood in line for years waiting for legal access and who, you know, have paid their dues. We should not let these people caught in line without even knowing who they are. And that is not the American way.
Well, you definitely are a voice for people to have conversations around. What you say is a conversation starter. It allows people to, as I put in the book, Revolutionary Conversations, to stop and say, oh, okay, I'm hearing you. I may have a different opinion, but can I ask you a question? My little toolkit, or the toolkit that the three authors wrote together, was stop, help, ask, risk, and explore. And that means that you stop for a moment and stop yourself. Because the first thing you want to do is kind of say, well, excuse me, where did you come from? Where were you born? But you stop and you just let yourself relax. Say, okay, there's a reason for this conversation to start, and you just stop. And that often stops the person because they don't know what to do with you because you're not yelling at them. So you stop, just like you do at a stop sign. This is the reason I talk to people so much. I say, what do you do at a stop sign? You stop until it is safe to go forward. It's not safe to have a conversation with somebody and scream at each other. That's not safe. You don't know if that person has a gun or anything. So you have to stop at that stop sign to go forward when it's safe. And the same thing in a conversation. Then the next question is help. That word is magic. The next word is help. I need a little help to understand what you're saying. Now, they still may be shouting at you, but you've asked them to give you some help. And help is the word that gets people's emotions settled down. Whenever we have a disaster, what happens? Everybody helps out, right? And so in a conversation, I need some help. And then you ask, can I ask you a question? Now, that person still may be raging about the wonderful world of whatever it is they believe in, which is the opposite of you. And you say, my question is, I know you have reasons for talking about this issue. Now, can you give me more information? Simple. Sometimes this person who may be having its point of view really loudly expressed doesn't even know where he got the information. And they hear themselves. And then you go to risk. I'm going to take a risk. Do you mind? And so you say it just like that. I'm going to take a risk. And do you mind? And when we were writing the book, the co-author, Mark Fowler, would always say, I'm going to take a risk. And do you know the minute he would say that, we'd all stop talking because we wanted to hear what risk he was going to take? And I want to take a risk. And at that point, if you are on the same page, if you are ready to do the last little tip, stop, help, ask, risk, and explore, give your risk. You say, you know, I've heard you and I've listened to you and I think I understand a little about what you're saying. You never can understand that person totally. So you say a little about what you're trying to tell me. And my idea is, and then you give them your idea. That's your risk. And if they say, oh, that's interesting, then you say, all right, let's explore this. Let's see where we really are. What can we do to save this group of children that are now homeless and we know they need to have a school? What can we do to help them? Instead of going to the first point, the man says, those jackasses never, ever get a job. And here's their children. These children are just children. They're innocent children. And so then you have these conversations. And then you solve the problem. And we started that in Santa Barbara. We have a school for the homeless kids.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so going back to the politicians with your share tools.
Stop, help, risk,
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now they also just say, well, we'll give them $1 billion. We'll give them $1 million. Now this, Barbara, they need these tools. They need these tools mm-hmm. because they are
the
ripping
tools.
Off the taxpayers with their reckless
uh-huh.
spending as if they
right.
they control our money and they can spend it any which way they want, with generally if it went to the proper sources and there was oversight and there was a strategy on how they're going to accomplish helping orphan children or homeless children,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
they would have a plan, right? And they would be able to, like you say, in the end, explore it. And so,
mm-hmm.
And of course, they'd be taking, they're taking more risk by not listening and just saying, oh, we'll resolve it by giving, I don't know, X, Y, and Z, $1 billion or $2 billion or $10 billion. And then the money never
That's
gets
a heck
to
of a lot of money,
the children.
And you know, somebody
yeah.
should say that. That's a heck of a lot of money. What are you doing with my tax dollars? I want them to be spent in a way that helps humanity. A simple concept.
Right. Yes, and what is your plan? And where's the oversight to make sure the money isn't getting shuffled off to another,
right.
you know, to someone else,
uh-huh.
to corruption. You know what I'm saying? Because,
mm-hmm.
Barbara,
right.
we send billions of dollars, because you're involved with United Nations, we send billions of dollars to all these countries, and the people are still poor.
And that's exactly what you have to find out. Why is that the way it is? That's our responsibility to do our investigating. And you know the good news is we have Google. Google is amazing. You know, when my husband was at the United Nations, the founder of Earth Day came up to him and said, do you know that you're the most quoted man on Google? And he said, what's Google?
Oh, wow.
And this is in the 90s, early 90s. What's Google? And he said, well, it's a search engine on the Internet. And my husband said, well, you know something? My son's a big IBM executive. I'm going to ask him, what is Google? Because I have the first computer IBM ever put out, the first laptop, and I'm going to go home and find out what it was. So then I went to my computer, and I had one of those new smaller Macintoshes that came out from Apple, the Apple computer, and I went on there and I looked at Google. I almost fell off my chair. He is the most quoted man on Google, Robert Mueller. He would say things like decide to be peaceful, render others peaceful, be a model of peace, irradiate your peace, live passionately the peace on our beautiful planet. And people started quoting him. And all of a sudden, he got 23 nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize in his lifetime. He died at 88 in 2010. And that's why I carry on his work, because I too believe that we have the right to decide to be peaceful and to render others peaceful. But you have to give them the tools. That's why the book Revolutionary Conversation is so powerful. In business, it started out as a course at UCLA. And then these business people were taking the course home, and they said, this is the first time I had a good conversation with my wife.
Mm.
There you go.
There you go. And you know, I think, you know, communication is the key. And I think most people, I mean, I'm not saying I do, but I mean, I'm including myself with everyone else, that we don't really have the real tools like SHARE and the Revolutionary Conversation to actually, until we find out about them, like the audience is finding out today and myself, that we can find these tools to become a better person, a better communicator, a better listener. Because if we don't listen to the other people, then how do we know that we're not hurting them by not listening? Maybe that's all they want us to do is listen, not give an opinion, whether it's a family member, a friend, because everybody's important, right?
I think everybody's important. I know the people I come in contact with are important, even if they're a homeless person. And you know, in Santa Barbara, where I live, we have a lot of homeless people. And every once in a while, I'll find somebody and I'll say to this homeless lady, you have beautiful legs. And she said, well, I walk all day long. And I said, well, that's why you have beautiful legs. She said, thank you. And you know, a homeless person is nothing but a human being in different circumstances. So I spend my time, if I'm out and about and I see a homeless person, I carry my late husband had extra socks all over the place, right? So I just put that whole bag of socks in my back seat. And when I see a homeless person, I say, you want a pair of socks? And I just give it to them. Or do you need a bottle of water? I just carry things. I think these are human beings. And so I take things that I think if I were like that, what I'd want, a bottle of cold water and a new pair of socks. That's all. And so, you know, you just do what you can.
That is so funny you mentioned the socks because I was in a store and this young kid came up to me and he said, I was looking at socks and he said, can I ask you to buy me a pair of socks?
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I go, you know what? That's a great idea. And so I bought him like three pairs of socks.
I said,
you know, it came in a three pack, you know? And I'm like,
right.
Oh, what would I do? Go buy a latte? I mean, really, he needs the socks. I don't need a latte. Yes, I believe in all of those things, you know, because I passed up a homeless woman and with my daughter and my granddaughter, and we were shopping in San Francisco before all this stuff happened over there. It was still beautiful. We were walking through and having fun and enjoying ourselves. And I don't know, something caught my eye. This lady was standing on the corner, and she had next to a building, and she had the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. But I kept walking, and then all of a sudden I stopped in my tracks, Barbara, and the kids go, what's wrong? And I said, I got to go back. Give me some cash. And I was looking for cash because, you know, we all keep cards now, very little cash. So we finally came up with, you know, like 10 bucks. And I go, what are you talking about, Mom? I go, we got to go back. So we go back, and the lady on the corner, and I said, here you go. And she's like, oh, my God. This woman starts saying, it's my birthday. Thank you so much. God bless you. It's my birthday. And so we're like, happy birthday, you know. And all of a sudden this whole crowd comes around and they start putting money in her little cup, you know, and wishing her a happy birthday. And I'm like, gee, in a split second, look what happened.
You changed the whole atmosphere in that moment.
So when we're talking about, you know, communication, there's all kinds of ways to communicate with people, right?
When you are present. That moment when you were in San Francisco, you were personally present. You were present for whatever came up. And then your intuition checked in. And that's the thing I want people to get today. Pay attention to your intuition. You had the intuition to get some cash and go back. And you didn't let it go. You know what we are? We're not humans anymore. We're busyness. We're busy. We're not paying attention. I don't even know if people know what they had for breakfast. If you ask somebody, what'd you have for breakfast? How'd you get her? They aren't even aware of what they're doing, let alone another person. So you have to stop, just like I said in the book, and pay attention. And you said listen. And boy, is that a good thing to do. And listen without an opinion. Just listen. Put your judgment aside. And just be present. You never know. And I'll give you an example. I'm in the gas station. I'm paying my bill. And this homeless man is standing next to me counting out his change because he probably only had $1.50 or something. Who knows? And he's trying to buy his coffee and his breakfast. And I said, would you mind if I put your breakfast on my credit card? And he just looked at me. And the other people in the store looked at me. And then the clerk said, are you sure? And I said, what you going to eat? $5 worth? Yes, put it on my tab. And the whole store smiled. Everybody liked the homeless man, and they loved me. And so I just said, okay. You know, I felt great. The homeless man was fed, and the store saw an example of peace.
You know, I think, you know, if we just start stop looking at our phones 24/7, down. Everybody's looking down, and they start to look up, and they start to look around them, they're going to realize that, you know, Barbara is telling us through her book, Revolutionary Conversations That Everyone Needs, The Tools You Need for the Success. And it's not always about money, is it? It's about the trees and the birds and the butterflies and the plants. Barbara, I even talk to my plants. I mean, because I don't want them to die. I want them to live and thrive. And so, you know, and it's about what God gave us. And so when we take some time to meditate and then to read the book, Revolutionary Conversations, and pick up on the share tools, we're going to become better people, better communicators with our families, our children, our grandchildren, and in our parents, even if they're elderly, we should take time to listen to them, you know. And and there,
and
you know, there's so many people who are isolated today, you know, and so
and
important.
And how we can get to them with the telephone. Call those people that you know are by themselves. See how they're doing. But I got to share one more thing, because my husband would always say, Robert Mueller, and we wrote the book about, he was in war-torn. He was born in Alsace, Lorraine. The Germans were shooting the French were shooting the Germans. And he said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a peacemaker. And his dad said, I pity you, young man. There's no such thing. He said, I don't care. I'm never going to have my children go through the war horrors that I am going to go through. And so when he won an essay contest and he was given an internship at the United Nations, he started writing notes about his life, because he was in the first internship group at the UN. And then he started writing these notes. And his biographer, Douglas Gillies, wrote his story, and it's called Prophet, the Hat Maker's Son, and it's on Amazon. And if you think you're in horrible situations now, read this book. When he had to march behind the people that they were going to shoot and dig the grave for them, this is the story of the horrors of war and the joy at optimism of working for a world at peace. And that's Prophet, the Hat Maker's Son, on Amazon. Buy it. You'll kiss me for reading it, and you'll get hope again, the way we need hope on our planet today.
Absolutely, Barbara. And, you know, we really want to thank you for being a peacemaker. And also, if you have, like, just a few tips out of the 7,500 ideas on making it a better world, which tips would you choose?
I would choose the one, decide to be happy. Why? Because when you're happy, your brain can think. Do you have time for a 30-second story?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Robert was in the French Resistance. Remember, he was born in Alsace, Lorraine. And he was on his French Resistance. He had a secretary. He was doing the work. And in came the Gestapo. They were ready to arrest Robert Mueller because he was doing what they didn't want him to do. They wanted the war to go on, etc. So he says to his secretary, now they didn't see him. He just saw the paddy wagons drive up. So he said to his secretary, I'm going on the third floor, and when I'm up there, you find out what's going on here and send somebody up and tell me, because I think they're here to arrest me and put me in the prison. And so sure enough, this guy comes up and says, they're here to arrest you. And Robert said, thank you, thank you. And he said, what can I do? What can I do? If I go on the roof, they're going to shoot me. If I get rolled up in a carpet, they're going to shoot me. I'm dead, no matter what. And he said, I'm going to get happy. And he smiled, and he put a cigarette in his mouth. He combed his hair. He took off his glasses. He could barely see. That's why he never got in the Army, because he couldn't see good enough. So long story short, I know what I'll do. I'm going to walk right down there, because they'll never expect the person they're looking for to walk down. So he walks down the stairs. They're shaking his secretary, and they're saying, either you tell us where he is or we'll shoot you too. And Robert says, what's going on in this house? And these Gestapo say, and she says, they're looking for Robert upstairs. And he said, Robert? I just saw him on the fourth floor. The Gestapo shook her and let her go and ran upstairs And he walked out the front door, got on a bicycle, and I got to marry that man.
Oh, my goodness. That was another instinct and beautiful, beautiful instincts that, you know, I believe that there's a little voice always speaking to us if we listen and communicate with that little voice, and which is probably part of your share tools. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, this
mm-hmm.
has been such an enlightening conversation and so empowering, and it just makes me happy.
Well, and you know what you do, Rose? You bring out the best in your guests. You're very rare that you can do that. You bring out the best in the guests. That's why I do peacepodcast.org. I have 75 authors and world leaders on there to bring out their wisdom. We have to share our wisdom today, right, Rose?
Right. That's what it's all about. It's not about me, and it's not about money. God knows that. It is about making it a better world and making it better, not for me. I've already, you know, saw the great America, but I want to maintain that America for the youth, for our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and everyone who loves our country and
oh,
who wants to assimilate and uphold these freedoms, liberties, and rights and respect
right.
our heroes and not
mm-hmm.
suppress information. Not suppressed. You don't like my point of view, that's fine. You don't have to. But guess what? We're not communist China. We can think and we can have thoughts and we can speak out our thoughts. And so
right.
this is what makes America great. And this is how we got developed. This is how they created things. They invented things. I mean, because of freedom, freedom of thought and creativity, not having to suppress our brains and our body and allow the government to control our bodies. Everyone should have an unalienable, God-given right to control their own bodies, their own fetus, their own unborn baby, their own children, minor children, and to take care of their elderly parents in the best way they believe they should be taken care of. And everyone should have that freedom in America and maintain it. And it's so worth
fighting
for. And
if they don't know what
the
freedoms are, tell them to read the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a better, a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity. Our prosperity. Think about that.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Barbara. I think everyone listening will be feeling so much better today about America, about life, about opening up their minds and expanding them to other people's opinions. And even if you don't agree, maybe you're going to learn something from that person or
right.
change your view a little and do some research and homework.
Yes.
Well, maybe Barbara's right. Maybe I should look at that, you know. And so, Barbara,
mm-hmm.
as we come to the end of our show, unfortunately, it seemed like it flew by. Tell us, can you tell us any message you like and also how people can find you, your workshops, your books, and contact you,
Thank
whatever
you.
You have.
Thank mm-hmm. you. I am president of the United Nations Association. It's called UNASB.org. You can go there to find out what the United Nations is doing today. And I'm also on peacepodcast.org. And Revolutionary Conversations can be purchased on Amazon, as well as Prophet the Hatmaker's Son. And, you know, I wrote another book. I was, you know, Erwin Zucker gave you an award. I was writing your biography and autobiography on Zoom. I think it was on Amazon. Anyway, long story short, I love Erwin Zucker. I wrote the book with him, How to Become a Bestseller. And then I was president of the book publicist, but I want to just tell everybody on today's show that you are so lucky to be living where you are. You are in the right place to do the right thing, and we can do it together. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. And I hope everyone will get your book, and because it is powerful. And it's going to help so many people. Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for Success, Barbara Gone Mueller, M-U-L-L-E-R. And you can find her, as she said, online and listen to your podcast as well. So God
bless
you.
You know what's interesting? Go to Spotify. Check them out. Listen to her and listen to me. Bye.
God bless you, and we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
All right. Look forward to it. Bye-bye, love.
Bye-bye. And Barbara Gone Mueller has left the building, and we have to leave the building as well. So God bless you. God bless America. And, hey, support our law enforcers. We need them. Otherwise, we'll be a nation of civil unrest and crimes and no one to protect us. So they risk their lives. So the least you can do is support your police, your sheriffs, ICE, Border Patrol, the Department of Justice. They're some really good guys, even though sometimes we get a little frustrated. But we need them. So God bless you and God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.